Hello and welcome to another episode of the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. On today's episode, I speak to Sarah Jaksola, a PhD researcher and Chinese teacher originally from Finland. Sarah first moved to China in 2010 to study Mandarin, before deciding to settle there long term. After working as a Chinese teacher for several years, she recently embarked on a PhD program researching Mandarin learners' motivations for studying the language. Sarah has loads of interesting insights from living, studying and teaching in China for over 10 years, as well as some great tips on staying motivated throughout the learning process that we can all learn from. Okay, so Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I wanted to start by asking you about your motivations initially for starting to learn Chinese, because I think they were a bit different from a lot of other people, a lot of other learners when you first started, which was that your parents originally lived in China. So can you tell us a bit more about how that came about?
Yes, that's right. I always say that my fascination with the Chinese language goes all the way back to the 80s, when my parents indeed were living in Beijing for 4 years, my mother working there and my father accompanying her during that work period. And my father even learned some Chinese while they were living in Beijing, as he had all the time and a very extroverted nature to just go out and talk to people, never opening any textbooks or taking any lessons, just listening to people. And to this day, my father can still speak not a lot, but just maybe like 20 words he knows. He's quite confident with those 20 words that he has under his belt. I was born in Finland a few months after they moved back to their hometown, but always been immersed around Chinese culture. We had different like Chinese items at home, even like paintings or some furniture, chopsticks. Throughout my childhood, especially my father was always very interested in Chinese culture and language. So I think that was a huge influence in my life growing up.
And in those years, did you have any exposure to the language at all? Or was it just the culture?
Just the culture, really. Coming from quite a small city in Finland, we didn't have any Chinese speakers around then, and I didn't travel to China when I was a kid either. So mostly just the culture through my father watching like documentaries or movies and such.
And how did it go from that then to you making a decision to travel to China yourself?
So the first time I took a Chinese class was in high school. We had a 2-week summer course on learning a little bit of travel Chinese and doing Tai Chi. So half day for Tai Chi and half day for Chinese. But it was only then in 2008 when I started at the university in Finland, when I started to take regular Chinese lessons once or twice a week. So that was my like first introduction to actually learning Chinese, other than just, you know, browsing through books myself at home. And I continued to do that for a year and a half when I then found out about this opportunity to do a study exchange here in Guangzhou. So I decided to take on that offer and come to China.
That was in 2010, I believe. Is that right?
That's right.
Describe what those initial experiences were like then of moving to China in 2010.
I think originally I was maybe a little bit worried if my expectations were too high, because I had always been interested in Chinese culture, language, history. So I had kind of a big expectations how life would be like in China and how exciting it would be. So I was a little bit worried about that. But then coming here as an exchange student, I really had all the time to just immerse myself in the language and culture and just exploring the city of Guangzhou, traveling a little bit around there as well. I guess it met my expectations quite well, because 14 years later, I'm still here.
Do you still remember those initial struggles when learning Chinese? What were your first impressions of the language, and what did you find most difficult?
So when I arrived to China, I had a little bit of a basic Chinese, maybe I could say around like Heisei one level, if talking about the Heisei levels. But pronunciation was very difficult. I had huge troubles understanding what people were saying. So I could say it like quite a few things, but then I often struggled to understand what locals were saying to me. So I definitely remember having to, you know, repeat things a lot. Okay, what's going on? And in a sentence from the few words that I did know, than to trying to kind of find out, okay, what is going on and what is happening. I guess for me, what helped that, because back in 2010, didn't really have smartphones, no WeChat, so you actually had to talk to people to get things done. So I think that also gave me a little bit of advantage that I had no other choice but to use Chinese to communicate with people with anything I wanted to get done.
In the vast majority of cases, the way this story usually ends is that for one reason or another, you leave China, you go back home. But in your case, you stayed there. So you're one of the rare cases who's still there now. And what do you think is the reason for that? What was the reason that you decided in the end to stay in China?
I think that coming to China definitely was like always a dream of mine to be able to live here and kind of experience it firsthand, what I had been reading in books, for example. And then coming here, I think I got even more like truly like fell in love with learning the language. Originally, it was supposed to be a half a year study exchange, but no one else from my university came to Guangzhou. So I extended it twice and ended up being an exchange student for a year and a half. By that time, I think I already had kind of started to make a little bit of my life in Guangzhou and then decided not to go back to Finland to finish my studies, but instead then to do my degrees here in China. I didn't plan it originally to stay such a long time, but somehow it just coming to Guangzhou just felt like coming home in a sense.
We're going to talk in a moment about the research that you've been doing. The research is on motivations for studying Chinese. And if you think back to those initial few years, what was your main motivations at that time that kept you going, do you think?
I think my main motivation just in the beginning, even before I started to learn Chinese and when I did start, was just that huge interest and fascinations to the language and the culture and the history, and kind of wanted to find out more, like, anything really related to China was just very fascinating to me. And I think that kind of a background is what has kept me learning all these years. Even it's not always 100% fun all the time. It's sometimes very difficult and very hard and frustrating to learn a new language as well. But I think having that background of being interested in all these different aspects is probably what has kept me going. I was an exchange student from beginning of 2010 until summer of 2011. And then I applied for a bachelor degree program that was from September 2011 until end of 2013. And then I started a master's degree from which I graduated in 2016. So basically the first 6 years, I was a full-time student.
And then in 2016, did you get a job in China at that point? Or?
So at that point, I had already started to teach Chinese on the side. So I opened up a business with my local husband to teach Chinese and opened up the language center in 2017. And then I've been a classroom full-time as a teacher since then all the way up till today.
And tell us a bit more about your school and your teaching approach. So how did your learning experiences influence the way that you taught the language when you opened your school?
Oh, a lot, definitely. Because thinking back, like all those years of being a student myself, I must have had like tens of different teachers myself. It must be like 30, 40 different teachers of Chinese that I have met throughout the years and attended their courses. And I think some way I was probably making mental notes on what kind of teaching methods seemed to be working for me, what was not working. And I often noticed during when I was a student in class myself, like, if I was a teacher, I would maybe do things a little differently. So I think definitely having that experience of being a student of Chinese myself as well has truly greatly influenced me as a teacher.
And what were some of the major ways that commonly came up that you would often think, I would do this differently if I was a teacher?
There are, of course, different immersion programs, for example, where you're just drawn into the deep end. But I'm a big opponent also in the classroom setting to use the language that around 80% of the language the students can also understand when it's about adult learners. Then I also, when I was a student, I often noticed that I didn't know why we were studying certain things. So that kind of like explaining to students, okay, what are we learning? Why are we learning this? Why is it important? How does this relate to your life and you using the Chinese language?
One thing we talk about a lot on this podcast as well is pronunciation and tones. And you mentioned you'd had some difficulty with that at first. Did you have any observations about the way they tended to be taught? And did you make any amendments to the way that you taught them at your schools based on that?
So when I was initially learning Chinese pronunciation, so this was when I was in Finland, my teacher at the time didn't really pay that much attention to it. I'd been a lot of classes, like a lot of repeating after the teacher, which can be effective as well. But it was only after I came to China and very long after that I had a teacher, for example, even explaining where should the tip of your tongue be pointing when you're pronouncing certain sounds, or being able to compare, for example, some of the sounds with English or with Finnish. So I think I missed out on that for some reason. And then I came to China, was expected to know those already because I was not the zero beginner anymore. So it was kind of a hard lesson later on to go back to the basics. Okay, let's now try to fix the mistakes and try to improve the pronunciation. So I think when I'm thinking of myself now teaching pronunciation to my beginner students, we are looking into, okay, why do we want to be doing this right away? Why the tones are so important? Because I feel for adult learners, we need to know why. Why does it matter? And why is it that we are doing something like this? Also, as a student, we were often repeating different sounds with the teacher, but just using syllables kind of without meaning or without knowing what anything of that meant. So with beginners, I usually use example words that actually have some useful meanings, for example. So at the same time, we can practice our pronunciation of different sounds, but we can also learn a couple of useful words, for example, using the numbers to practice our tones. So we're kind of doing two different things at the same time, to having the students to feel that, okay, I'm practicing my, you know, pronunciation, but I'm also learning other useful things at the same time as well.
You then, in the last couple of years, have been doing some research. So you started a PhD. Can you tell us a bit about what the topic was for the PhD and why you chose that topic?
So my topic for the PhD is motivational changes in Chinese learning Chinese as a second language, especially on what motivates us to learn Chinese and how our motivation changes through time and what kind of things affect the motivation. Where does it sometimes go up, sometimes come down, or where does it stay constant? Originally, when I started to think about applying for a PhD beginning of 2022, when I started to consider this option, I had been a teacher for quite a few years already, but I felt like I wanted to improve myself as a teacher. I wanted a new challenge personally as well. And I was kind of thinking of different options because everything about the Chinese language just seems so interesting to me. But in the end, I felt it really is the teaching of the language and learning of the language from that aspect that interests me more and where my strengths would be. Maybe not as much as Chinese linguistics, but more from the education point of view.
And so 2 years in, I suppose you've thought about this question a lot then. What tends to motivate learners to keep going? What have you found as you look into this more?
So for now, I've been looking into those students who study Chinese as the majors, and they have just started the language and attending a beginner's course. And for initial reasons to start Chinese, it varies a lot. There is a student like me who had this very strong background, interest of history, language, politics. Then there are also students that kind of by accident ended up learning Chinese that were very interested in languages. All of them that participated in my research were very interested in different languages. All of them had studied multiple languages. And then with different routes then came with Chinese. There were some by accident and then some like that knew from a couple of years before, okay, this is something that I want to do.
One of the questions everyone wants to know is, why do some people lack the motivation whereas others have it and continue studying it for years as you did in your case? What are some of the things do you think that are really important when it comes to maintaining the motivation, and what kind of factors do you think tend to predict that?
There's definitely a lot of different types of factors. Now, specifically on the students of the research that participated in, we did have one student who was considering on giving up and quitting on Chinese. Some of those research is a combination of the course gradually becoming more difficult, feelings of not being able to keep up with the course load, at the same time things happening in personal life or sickness, and a lot of like things happening at the same time, which understandably can be a reason for giving up. But this question I've been thinking like since I started Chinese back in Finland, because during our first semester at the university in Finland, our beginner's Chinese course, we had two groups because we had so many students wanting to start learning Chinese. But coming up to the second semester, we only had one group because half of them had already given up. And the third semester, we didn't have any group at all. I think for in that kind of case, of course, many are very interested in starting a new project. My research participants also mentioned how everything is so exciting and new in the beginning of a new project or a new challenge. But then especially those study routines seem to be very important on keeping up the interest, on having ideas of why do you want to use this language for the future, to have long-term goals and keeping up those study routines. In my research, the students who decided to study in Chinese as a major in university, they are all heading towards wanting to have a career after graduation that either is related to the Chinese language itself, be it teaching or research, or using the Chinese language as a tool, for example, in a more business-oriented career, for example. But all of them has this idea that I'm studying this in the future, this will be helpful for my future career.
That makes sense. I wonder, though, if there would be differences at the motivation level between people who are kind of studying at a university on formal courses like the ones that I think you're looking at versus people who are self-learning the language, which was more my case. And other people I've interviewed on this podcast are like that as well. I don't know if I ever had a clear sense that I would use Chinese in my future career. So I wonder, do you think there might be differences depending on if they're on formal courses versus not on formal courses?
Oh, I would say yes, absolutely. So the research I'm doing and the students participate in it, it's also a very different group compared to my own students here in Guangzhou, China, where majority of my students are in China. They are working here and they study Chinese part-time, or they are here as family members and they study Chinese part-time. And for most of them, obviously, being in China, that is a big motivation itself to be able to communicate with people, to be able to immerse to the life here. Also, many of them having ideas that I am in a foreign country, I should be learning the language of that country to be able to immerse myself, and out of respect. Definitely, it's a very different groups, which are university students, those studying part-time, studying, self-studying, for example. Motivation is such a complex topic and so many differences among different groups and people.
Do you think there's any main takeaways then that you may have got from doing your research at PhD level and then taking that back to keeping your students motivated at the school?
So on my research side, the project is very much still ongoing, but thinking about what I have started with the research or teaching my own students as well and myself as a learner, I do think of having those goals or ideas on what do you want to do with the language, but also having this kind of a image about yourself. Do you see yourself as a speaker of the Chinese language? Do you have this kind of a vision for yourself, for example, that in the future you feel, okay, this is a possible thing for me, in the future I will be, for example, a fluent speaker of Chinese or a capable speaker of Chinese. But it truly is a combination of very different things. And this also reminds me of a very interesting book where they research successful second language learners of different backgrounds and what made them successful to achieve fluency in a foreign language. The getaway was what you could get from there is that there are so many different routes, for example, to reach fluency or to be motivated. And it's okay if you don't have all the, let's say, 20 different factors. Maybe you have 5 and you can choose it yourself, what those might be. If thinking myself, from a motivational point of view, okay, I have that interest in the like the history, the culture, for example. That could be one motivational thing for me. Well, I live in China. There's another one for my work. Then also I'm very motivated by exams as well. So if I want to truly push myself with learning, I'm going to sign up for exam.
That's a very interesting one, because that can go both ways, I think. I'm very demotivated by exams. I was wondering whether if there's any listeners who are listening to this and for one reason or another, they may have been learning Chinese for a while, but they're lacking motivation now to continue because they're finding it very difficult and don't know if they can succeed. Is there any advice that you would give them, either from your experience or from your research?
So what I would say, for example, to the listeners or my own students or other people interested in learning Chinese is that, of course, there is this one case of students who are just very interested in the process of learning. The process of learning the Chinese language, it's so interesting that it just keeps on going. I have a little idea that you might belong to this category. In that case, I wouldn't worry about anything. If you like the journey of learning Chinese, you just go with the flow. If you have certain reasons for learning Chinese, to keep in those different reasons on why do you want to learn the language. Is it for work? Is it for understanding part of Chinese culture? Do you have a Chinese family member? Or what kind of the different reasons are there? So I would say for learning a second language, like I think most people are either doing it for a certain purpose, and then you can use that purpose and that goal to feed your motivation, or you are just fascinated by the process of it. And that is a very great place to be, just to enjoy the flow. And I have one of those students as well, and it's so nice to see for her. It says, I'm just happy to come to Chinese class. That's what she always says.
Perfect. Well, that's a great note to end on. So once again, thank you very much for coming on the podcast and for sharing your story about why you learn Chinese, as well as your really interesting research. So thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be able to be on the podcast.
Hey there. Thanks for listening to this episode of the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. If you're currently looking to improve your Mandarin speaking skills, you might like to check out my Peak Mandarin newsletter. Run by me and my friend Will Hart, we share exactly what you need to do to become fluent in Chinese based on our experience. Subscribe to the newsletter and we'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, Lessons from a Chinese Learning Phenomenon, which tells the story of exactly how Will Hart learned to speak near native level Chinese within a 1.5 year period, how I put his techniques into practice to become fluent myself, and how you can too. To subscribe to the newsletter, you can go to peakmandarin.com or click the link in the description. That's all for now. Until next episode, goodbye.